it's not about the numbers. It's about really creating work for yourself and for people to be able to enjoy it, and being able to create your own little community within whatever platform you're using.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock. I have some big news. Episode 50 is coming. It's going to be an 8 to 9 hour live stream. Yes, it's going to be crazy. Tons of awesome guests. A bunch of giveaways. It's just going to be a big celebration to celebrate this great milestone, 50 episodes into this podcast. So go to dpcreates.com to learn more. You don't want to miss it. dpcreates.com, episode 50, coming to you live. Now, this week's episode. Well, I'm excited to have Colin Tierney on the Passion Behind the Art Show. Awesome designer, and I kind of admire his work from afar, so I was like, let's have him on the podcast. Colin, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. Been watching you through, I think the first time I got wind of you was through the Sean West community, and then yeah, I was in it a few years ago, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was, I feel like that was forever ago. So you were in the community the same time that I was?
Yeah, because okay. I think, let's see, the Creative South, not this one, but the one before that, I had met up with Aaron, and that's when we all met up at that that burger joint.
Oh, okay, yeah, Aaron Dowd.
Yeah,
he's always a treat. I love running into him.
Yeah, Aaron is awesome, man.
Every time I see him, he's always working on his laptop when he's not inside the conference watching someone talk. It's great, though.
Yeah, so let's kick it up. How did Colin's journey start?
All right. Well, I'm sure people are interested in the design realm of things. Not, let's not go back until I was a toddler. But it does actually start there. I mean, I just began drawing when I was really young, and I love the fine arts, painting, drawing, whatever just required picking up a pencil or some kind of instrument, and was able to emit some kind of ink. So from there, I always knew that I loved it, and then I always thought it was a great hobby for me. To be honest, I wanted to be a basketball player or a golfer.
Yikes.
But, yeah, I never grew to be, 6'9". But and golf, I kind of just started a little bit too late. But I knew once I started college that I wanted to be a designer. I thought it was, at the time, I thought it was something that I could transition from the fine art world into the digital world fairly easily. And I knew it was a little more established, meaning I could probably make some money doing graphic design as opposed to strictly illustration or painting. Little did I know at the time, though. I mean, in today's world, we can do any of that and still make a living out of it. So
true.
I was a bit naive then, but I'm still very happy with the direction I chose. And so I got into design immediately, finished around 2008, bought my first MacBook Pro, and kind of traveled around for, I don't know, 2-3 years. And got involved in some communities. LogoPond was one of the very first online accounts that I signed up for. It was pretty much the first Dribbble, as we know it today.
Right.
Where designers from all around the world would post logos, specifically logos, not just any kind of design work, And I was super inspired by that. So I got into identity design through Logopond, and I really just found a passion of, being able to create a face for a company, a foundation for them. And it kind of evolved from there. Other platforms started to arise, like the Dribbles, the Behances, the Instagrams. And I would just share my work as much as I could. And from there, I started to establish my own business, Tierney Studio. And
Cool.
at the time, it was actually Colin Tierney Design. I didn't really, it was just too many words. It just didn't flow right. So I changed it up to Tierney Studio, and now I run my own business with the help of my wife and work with clients from all around the world, and I love it. I think about 3 or 4 years ago, let's see, 10 years ago is when I started logo design, and then I really got into typography and then dissecting typography. Manipulating it a little bit here and there, really getting down to the bare bones and trying to understand what and why letter forms work. And then from there, I just wanted to be able to create my own letter forms. So I picked up the pencil again and started drawing letters. And after a while, it went from there to actually writing letters in the form of calligraphy, using brush pens to markers. And now I can offer a broader range of services, hand lettering,
Cool.
for logo types and beyond.
Cool. So let's go back a little. When you said you were traveling around, I don't know, that kind of intrigued me. Were you like literally just with your laptop just going from place to place?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
In the most basic ways of explaining what that, yes, just picking up my laptop and flying out to visit friends who are also traveling and going to different spots around the country. I landed in Colorado. I lived on the East Coast in Ocean City, Maryland for a few years. Went up to Maine for several months to be with my family. I'm the youngest of five, so all my older siblings are living up in Maine.
Okay.
And now I reside in Maryland with my wife and two children.
So
One
like, sorry.
coming.
Oh, you have a third one on the way.
Yeah, two little girls already, and then one little boy on the way.
That's awesome, man. Congrats.
Thank
Congrats. I got
you.
four of my own.
That's great. They make everything worth it, don't they?
Yeah, man. You already know.
that sounded so trite coming out of my mouth. Like, come on, guy. Really? They make it all worth it. That's what you have to say about them? Jeez.
It's true. It kind of puts everything in perspective. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
it does.
So, what was the whole motivation of you just traveling like that? I don't know. I'm very intrigued about traveling.
For the same reason what you just said, you were intrigued. I mean, I just wanted to get out there and explore. I never really settled growing up. I was born in Ohio, lived in Maine, lived in Maryland. Just recently we lived in West Virginia. Like I said, I lived in Colorado. So I've never really had a home per se, a place that I can call home, which is good and bad. I like to look at it on the brighter side and just say, I'm a little bit more knowledgeable about the country we live in. Unfortunately, I've never really traveled the world. Of course, we all want to do that, but it just, timing wasn't right. Financials weren't set. So I had to be a little bit more realistic with my goals. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to travel around. I wanted to live as a ski bum for a little bit. I wanted to live as a beach bum for a little bit. And I did the mountain life, I did the beach life. And all the while, I had my laptop and I was really studying and trying to just better myself in design. Obviously, not ready to go out into the industry on my own, but willing to at least accept the idea that this could be what I would want to do.
So how would you say that affected your design career or influenced you in design wise?
This sounds a bit contrived, but just being outside all the time just really inspires me. You know, I just throw on, my headset and just listen to music and either draw by hand or, you know, create something digitally. It just was something that I was able to relate to, just being out in the wilderness, you know, 13,000 feet above sea level, you know, on a mountain, greeting people coming up a ski lift. You know, when it got too cold, I'd have to go inside the shack and warm up, and that's where I'd break out the pencils and start drawing. And when you have the view of the Coors Light Mountains, that's the lift I worked on, where the logo for the Coors Light
right.
Mountains. Yeah, that was the same exact lift I worked on. When that's wow. your view every day, it's hard not to be inspired.
That's cool. I like that. So how I know about you is mainly through lettering. So I know you started looking at typefaces. So what do you think caught your eye to take it to the next level in like lettering and stuff like that? And even creating this, what you call it? Crayligraphy.
Yeah, crayligraphy. I owe a lot of thanks to an individual whose work is unfortunately not admired enough, or maybe it is admired enough, but isn't as recognized as others. And her name is Claire Couillon. She is a French lettering artist, and she's unbelievable. I saw some of her work in my early stages, and I was just so intrigued by it. I wanted to do that. Mm. I just loved how she was able to create these logo types and just evoke this feeling just through the stylization of the letter forms. I wanted to be able to do that. You know, I was coming from the traditional mark or icon,
right.
Dominant logo design work with a typeface, typeset in some way or manner underneath the icon or mark. And, you know, while they say everything under the sun has been done.
Right.
In some ways, unfortunately, that is kind of true. I felt, and I still feel with lettering, it's, while yes, you can't directly copy lettering, but if you're a little bit more intentional and you have the knowledge and the skill set, you're able to create very unique letter forms.
That is true.
And there won't be any future situations that you might have to come into where someone's accusing you of, you know, possibly blatantly ripping or, you know, unknowingly copying their work. But I just felt with lettering, it was just a way for me to create in a different kind of realm of design.
Cool. So what led to the whole crayligraphy creation, which is a Colin Tierney creation, is it or is it not? The name, at least.
It is. Yes, it is. I know that can be confusing. There's another big brand out there who also uses crayoligraphy. And I won't get into that too much right now. But originally it was called crayoligraphy. I came up with this concept about 2.5 years ago now. And the idea behind crayoligraphy was to be able to have a platform where people could come to and I would be able to teach them the basic fundamentals of calligraphy, except not in the traditional manner. Mm. You know, a marker is very untraditional when you think of calligraphy. But the reason why I felt the need to do this was because there were a lot of requests, and instead of just ignoring questions and social media or emails, I could now direct them to my site.
Right.
And within that site is I provide, you know, tutorials, blog post tutorials on the fundamentals of calligraphy. And it's still a work in progress, so I'm still writing. I felt like if people are this interested in it, why not make it easy and fun and, you know, accessible? You know, they're not gonna, you know, break their wallets trying to learn something that they may end up hating.
Right.
And they can just go into their kid's little art toolbox and pick out a bunch of Crayola markers or whatever it may be, you know, Up and Up markers, Crazy Art markers, any kind of broad nib marker. And the reason why calligraphy is easier to learn is because of the firmness of the nib of the marker. So a lot of the frustration when the novice begins calligraphy is, whether it's dip pen or brush pen, it's handling that nib.
Right.
You know, if you're using a dip pen, you have to deal with scratching on the paper. And when you deal with brush pens, the flex is too much, so it's just a lot harder to control. And with markers, with it being a subtle flex and a firmer nib, it's just much easier to learn the art of writing in that form.
That's true, man. I must say, like, that is the truth. I tested it out a few times after I heard about it through you, and I must say, like, it's much different from using a Tombow brush pen.
Yeah. And if you think about it, when we write every day, you know, if you do write every day, if you're, you know, even just writing your address on an envelope, we use pens. So the reason why that's easier is because there's no flex on the pen or the pencil, and we can just comfortably write on a piece of paper.
Gotcha.
And with a marker, you can do the same exact thing. You can comfortably write on a piece of paper. Now, the art behind it is how to get the thicks and thins, and that's where using the tip and the broad edge comes into play.
Right, right. And that's where going to Colin Tierney's site would come in very handy.
Yes, yeah. And I'm actually reworking it. I'm creating a new site for... I did change the name to Calligraphy, mm-hmm. Due to possible infringements and... Well, we won't get into that right now.
I understand.
Yeah. Daryl, you and I can talk about this after.
Cool.
The world will find out soon enough.
I got you,
the real story. But basically, I had to change the name to Calligraphy. I like the name better. It just, you know, flows better. And if they go to calligraphy.com now, I have separated it from Tierney Studio. So
gotcha.
Now it's its own entity.
Gotcha.
I just felt like the audiences for Tierney Studio and Calligraphy were competing a little too much.
Makes sense.
And often, you know, I like to have Tierney Studio be the umbrella, you know. But in this case, I just decided the best way to go forward is to separate them. And Calligraphy is now... As we speak, it is in the rebuilding phase.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So, I know, what would you say was the hardest struggle in trying to get from, you know, leaving school, doing your traveling, learning the art, to where you are now? What was the biggest thing that you say that you had to overcome, or things?
Probably myself, to be honest. I always got in my own way.
Wow.
And I still do to this day. I just felt that I was I am and was even more very critical of myself, and I just wanted only the best out of me, and I would only present the best work. And sometimes that just doesn't work out. And like I said, I'm still learning that. Trying to find a way not to be a perfectionist and still produce quality work. You know, it's a very gray line.
Right.
I'm still in search for, but I am getting much better in the process. But yeah, it's basically myself. Now, I guess that was more of a subjective answer, but some more challenges would probably be, it would probably have to be not giving up, wanting to give up, but just not giving up. Calligraphy especially is very demanding of your time and patience.
All right.
I probably went into it a little backwards. I started hand lettering first and then calligraphy. Now, I don't regret that I chose one before the other, but I do suggest calligraphy to the novice now prior to learning lettering, because I feel like calligraphy allows you to understand the makeup of letter forms a little better. And so once you have an understanding of that, then you can transition to the lettering phase and draw with a little more ease.
It's funny you said that. That is true. Because once you understand, especially when you're using brush strokes and stuff like that, kind of makes more sense when you're drawing and lettering. Because I went the same direction too. I started lettering first and then...
Yeah, most people do.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you understand the fundamentals of calligraphy, the transitioning phase to lettering would be much easier as opposed to lettering transitioning to calligraphy.
Right. That's true, because then you understand spacing and all that other stuff, and yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So who would you say is on Colin's support team, Colin's dream team, the people that he kind of pulls energy from, kind of keeps him going, prevent him from giving up?
Are we saying who in particular?
Yeah.
Are we? Okay.
Specifics.
I do have a group of solid guys and girls that I communicate with quite often, you know, a few times a week. And just to name a few, it would be Matt Vergotis. He and I are like this. And for those who can't see, basically we're tight. Yeah. He's my brother from another mother, for sure. And he and I actually started off around the same time.
Oh, cool.
We joined Logopond around the same time, you know, about almost 10 years ago. And we started our lettering journey around the same time.
Cool.
So we always went back and forth. We're very competitive. We did the very final type fight together, the last type fight that ever existed. And they let me choose whoever I want to go up against, and Matt really wanted me, so I said, bring it on. He beat me, but I still want a recount.
Oh, that's funny. Matt is awesome, though. Matt is an awesome dude.
He's a great guy, but yeah. Daniel of High Pulp would be another one.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a really inspiring dude. I like him a lot. Very uplifting. And I would have to say Scotty, Perspective Collective. You've had some of these guys on your podcast too, right?
Yeah, I've had Scotty and Matt. I haven't had Daniel yet.
Definitely recommend him. Eric F. Dot would be another one. Scott Biersack. Let's see. Dominique from Typism.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's really cool. Claire Couillon. We don't talk nearly as much as we used to. I know she's busy and starting her family.
Right.
But yeah, she's always, of course, been a solid influence, and you know, she's the one that started it all for me.
Right.
I know I'm leaving people out. You know, Dan Lee, he's a good guy. A lot of the Creative South folk that we hung out with.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's segue. Since you brought that up, I've noticed a lot. You've created a lot of things for Creative South. Like, what is the relationship that you have with Creative South that's causing you to create so much awesome stuff for them?
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, Mike, first of all, first and foremost, Mike is just a really great guy. And if you ever met Mike Jones, who is the founder of Creative South, you know, he's just a lovable big teddy bear, you know? And on top of that, he's a really good designer.
Right.
But he's created this atmosphere within this conference that's so welcoming. And I guess it was from the very first time I went to Creative South, which I believe was 3 or 4 years ago now. Mike and I hit it off. I think we Skyped prior to me going to Creative South, and he told me, you know, he'd love for me to come. It's an experience of a lifetime. And I don't believe I had ever really gone to any other conferences prior to Creative South. So, I was a little nervous. I didn't know anyone. It might have been around the time I had just joined the Sean West community.
Okay.
So I did know some of the community members within Sean West. But I went solo, and I went on a whim, just not knowing anyone and just saying, okay.
Let's do it.
Let's go. You're an introvert. Let's try to change things up and have a different perspective here. So I went, and Mike and I hit it off. And that's where I met Diane and Jason, who hosts the Creative South podcast,
right.
And a lot of the Creative South team and family. And so that passed, and obviously that was a life-changing experience. Creative South, I can't recommend it enough. And I believe it was a year later where Ian Bernard and I joined forces and did a calligraphy workshop together.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we were a very last minute addition. Mike was stoked. So Ian and I decided to host a workshop, and we were expecting just a very minimal amount of people because we were so late in informing everyone that we were going to have a workshop. Little did we know. And yeah, even we had very little reference guides too, because you know we were expecting maybe 6 to 7 people. Well, we get there and it's packed house. I think we had.
I think I heard about this. I heard about this one.
People were rolling in with numbers. Apparently, they were purchasing the workshop on their way to the workshop. So there was no way of us knowing how many people were actually going to be there. That was the same year my computer crashed.
Wow.
Right the morning of the workshop, which had all the reference guides that we were about ready to print. That was also a nightmare. Oof. I've had a lot of memories there. I think Mike asked me to do the live type fight that year as well.
Okay.
That was a blast. So it was just getting involved, you know, within the community, just speaking to Mike and growing a friendship there. And from there, he started asking me to design some T-shirts. I've designed the last 2 years of T-shirts, I believe. One of them was for the swag bag, and another was for purchase. I think last year was... What was the theme last year? Explore.
Yes, yeah. Explore, yeah.
Yeah. So each year I would design around the theme.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and I guess I'm an unofficial team member of Creative South. Last year he gave me a team member badge. Some of the people were like, whoa, when did you become... part of this. What happened? What did I? I was like, hey, I'm not really sure either.
It's not much saying no to Mike anyways.
Yeah, I just said I'm here to help with open arms.
That's true. And you know what, I mean, as you said, like, you can't recommend Creative South enough. Like, it's a life-changing experience.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I won't be there this year.
Mm.
As of right now, just because the little boy is due around then. Mm, so,
yeah.
It just...
Makes sense.
It makes sense, but and it's not aligning this year, which is okay.
Right. So, what's next? What's next for Colin? What's going on for 2018 and beyond?
This year, I just wrapped up my first workshop of the year with Good Type.
Mm.
That was a blast. We went to New York City, and we had a full workshop. A full day workshop and a full class. And that went really well. I really enjoyed teaching. And the enlightening moment when you see the aha from your students is probably the most gratifying feeling.
Cool.
You know, as a teacher. And each and every time I host one of these workshops, I experience this a little differently in a little more than the previous workshop.
Mm.
And I'm also learning to teach each time, which is super cool. You know, being able to witness myself articulate better, being able to describe even just any kind of method when it comes to calligraphy a little bit better so that that student can understand it easier is just the greatest feeling. So, yeah, while they're learning, I'm learning just as much.
That is the truth.
So the plan is to continue the workshop. I guess you could call it a tour, but it's not necessarily...
Oh, shoot, you're going on tour.
Yeah, I can't be calling myself Jay-Z or anything yet. No, not yet. I'm definitely not a musical artist touring the world, but... I have several dates and cities aligned.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, I think the next one will be with Mama Sauce in Orlando.
Mm.
And then we have another one in Minneapolis, one in Toronto, and then we're scheduling one in San Francisco and possibly L.A. while I'm out there too. So it'll be a way for not only to expand, you know, calligraphy, the concept and being able to teach throughout the country, but it's also a way for me to be able to take my family with me and travel. You know, because that's the most important thing to me is being able to be with them and doing something that I love.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. So how did the Good Type opportunity even present itself? How did it come about?
I had actually just worked with them a few weeks prior to them asking me to host a workshop in New York City.
Okay.
They reached out to me in collaboration with Skillshare to do a little promotional Instagram story material for them.
Okay.
And it was all based around lettering and calligraphy, so... Of course I accepted. They're great people. You know, they respect artists. It's not just about how much engagement you'll get or, you know, the following you could get out of us posting your work. No, they're good people when it comes to business too, you know. They're advocates of being able to help artists, and they understand that, you know, this isn't a free service.
Right.
And I really respect that about them. And they've created a really solid community within the lettering and design industry. So, and then even prior to that, Brooke, the founder of Good Type, reached out to me to be in their next Good Type book.
Mm, cool.
So it was just communication throughout, you know, several months and even years. You know, she featured my work several years ago, and she continues to this day.
So, As we draw to the close to the end, what advice would you give to creatives?
You know, I get this question a lot, and I never really have a solid answer, you know, one that I can just fall back on. So maybe that's a good thing, you know, switch it up here and there. I would say we're all kind of striving for the same thing, you know, like we want, ultimately we do want to be noticed. We want to be seen, right?
Right.
That's why we're posting on social media. But my advice to them is don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in the fan base or your audience or the algorithms. You know, it can be so easy to just be frustrated with not being able to be seen or heard. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you that those, you know, dozens of people that do follow your work, as opposed to hundreds of thousands that follow others' work, those dozens are so valuable, you know. If they're there and they want to see your work, do the best you can, even if it's for them and also for yourself. Because the person with 100,000 followers might only have a couple few, you know, three or four
right.
people that really are interested in what they're doing or what they have to say. So just, you know, it's not about the numbers. It's about really creating work for yourself and for people to be able to enjoy it and being able to create your own little community within whatever platform you're using and just inspiring others. You know, because to this day, you know, I still struggle with it. I'm sure others do as well. You compare yourself, and I just think that is the common theme around our industry, you know, in the graphic design field. It's just a very competitive, and from the outside, people might think it's very
rainbows and sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not. It's not at all. But there is a good community within that.
Right.
You know, there's some great people. And, you know, just focus on your work. Don't get too caught up in the numbers game, and you'll be okay, you know. Eventually you'll find the sweet spot.
Right. Well, Colin, I really appreciate you coming on, man. It was good to hear your story and what you have to share.
Thank you, Daryl. I appreciate it.
So where can people go to learn more about what you're doing, learn more about Colin?
Pretty much everywhere at Tierney Studio. And if they want to learn a little bit more about calligraphy and the basic fundamentals, and even eventually to lettering and, you know, vectorizing, that would probably be Crayligraphy. So crayligraphy.com. And again, all those social media handles are at Crayligraphy. So for my work, it'd be at Tierney Studio.
Awesome.
But yeah.
Well, man, thanks again for coming on. Look forward to keep in touch and talking to you more.
Thanks so much for having me, Daryl. I appreciate it.
For sure, man.
All right,
you enjoy the rest of the night.
Thanks.
All right, bye. I want to say thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you want to get in touch with me, you can reach me at DP Creates on Instagram or Twitter. And please leave me a review on iTunes, because that helps the podcast to grow. Thanks again. Be blessed.